السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي، وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه، وأدخلني برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين. We are honored to be joined today by Pastor Sarah Halverson Kono. She's an old friend of our community. She's a pastor at Fairview Community Church in Costa Mesa, and also she's the co-president of the Interfaith Council in Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, and Irvine. She is joining us. She brought the flowers. Where are the flowers? Beautiful, fresh flowers. She's a mother of two wonderful children, and very active. Yeah, they have a lot of energy. And she always stands with us. I had the honor of knowing her since 9/11, 2001. And she came here to make a statement, to say that we are all together, standing together in this tragedy that we face, and we faced in New Zealand, in this massacre that took the lives of over 50 innocent men and young ones from the Muslim community there. We stand together in solidarity to declare with the loudest voice that we are against hate, we are against racism, we are against the prejudice, we are against those who carry the weapon to murder others simply because they don't share the color with them. They don't share the culture with them. So thank you, Sarah. Thank you for being with us always. God bless you. And please convey our regards and our thanks to your community, your beautiful Christian church members. I mentioned last week that the ways of making our communities and our families, specifically our families, prosperous, thriving, and also safe. Many people ask, how can I protect my children? How can I save my children's moral condition, moral status? What do we do? I mentioned two elements last week, and I will add another two elements this week, God willing. The two things that I mentioned last week is that we have to foster friendship with our children. Our children are not just sons and daughters. They are our friends, our true friends, real friends, not artificial friends. Therefore, we should have transparency with our children, openness. They should have the guts to come forward and open up to us and share their sentiments, their problems, their challenges, their sufferings, their happiness with us before they go to someone else, an outsider. They should be able to come to their mothers and fathers. So, yes, we have to maintain respect and dignity. Definitely children have to respect their parents, but at the same time, they should be also be able to be their friends. They can sit with them, talk to them, share whatever they go through with their parents. So this is number one. Number two, that maintains a good and healthy family is to induce our children with self-confidence. Many of the young generation nowadays, when they live in a materialistic society, the first casualty of that materialistic society is to lose self-confidence, is to lose self-worth and self-esteem, because they're going to measure everything with materialism. Every success they see, they measure it with materialism. So if there is some strives in the field of materialism, then they consider themselves to be successful. They don't know that life is not only materialism. Life is also morality. Life is also spirituality. Life is also when you help someone, when you guide someone, when you smile to someone, when you try to salvage someone who's confused, when you bring happiness to a heart which is mourning, a heart which is suffering. This is also part of success in this life. So we have to induce them with self-confidence all the time, encouragement, empowerment. Don't put your children down. Even if they make a mistake, don't put them down. Don't be harsh with them. Be careful about the language we use with our children. It should not be a negative language. Nasiha, advice, could be done, could be performed, but in a good language, in an encouraging language, in a positive language, not negative language. In some cultures, parents hardly call their children with their names. I know that. I was raised in such cultures. They use the name of animals. Either donkey is very popular in the Arab culture. Cow is popular in another culture, you know. They don't call them by their names. This is not good. This is not good. This destroy anything left of their spirit. It will destroy their spirit. This is discouragement. This is demeaning. We should always encourage our children. We are the builders of their characters. We are the builders and the designers of their personalities. So that was number two. Number three is that we, the parents, fathers and the mothers, we have to be role models, fine examples for our children. I would not allow a teacher or a coach to be the role model for my son and my daughter. My job is not to be just a breadwinner, just to bring food. I have to bring morality, ethics into my family, into my culture, into my home too. I have to teach them the manners. Today, when you find some of the children are well-mannered and you investigate about that, you find that he has a good mother. The mother raised him very well because he uses healthy language, safe language, not fool language because of his mother. On the other hand, when there is a fool language with someone, again, when you investigate, you find he learned that from his father, his mother, his older brother at home, his cousin. We have to be role model to encourage our children to follow our steps, our examples. We are examples. We are role models. We are leaders in the family. Every mother is a leader. Every father is a leader in his family. So when they learn chastity, when they learn discipline, when they learn to be on time, when they learn to be clean, when they respect time, when they respect their neighbors, when they respect the right of others, they learn all these qualities, not from television, not from the movie theater, not from the games that they play. They learn them from their parents. Always remember, always, oh fathers and mothers, when you wake up in the morning, say to yourself, first thing, say to yourself, I'm a role model. I have a responsibility. I have 2 kids, 3, 4, 5, 7. I'm responsible not just to feed them, but also to teach them, to inspire them, to encourage them, to make them the best citizens in our community. That was number three. And number four, my friends, I hear many mothers and fathers, they complain about their children. Their children are late, they don't do homework, they don't like to go to the mosque, they don't adhere to their religious values and principles and duties. But my friends, we have to be patient and we have to teach them to continue this journey. Some parents, they say, I spoke to my daughter. How many times you spoke? One time, it's not enough. You need to speak every day. Don't give up on your children. Every day, remind them. Every day. Consistency and persistency is important. And be patient. God says to Abraham in our book, in the Holy Quran, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. I want you to enjoin your family to connect with me, but also be patient with them, because some of them are going to reject. Some of them are going to be reluctant. Some of them are going to be rebellious. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Be patient. Persevere in this path. When you invite people to do goodness, you have to persevere. If you don't have perseverance, then you lose the cause. Then you can't achieve anything. A teacher, a mentor, a leader, a father, a mother should have perseverance, sabr, patience, endurance, tolerance. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Because your children are not going to listen to you from the first time. If you think that you're going to transform people from first time, you are wrong. Persistency. If you want them to learn to pray, you can't begin that at the age of 15 and 16. That is too late. Teaching our children should be at this age. How old are you? 7 years old. See, he came with his dad. Can you stand today? I love you. He's 7 years old. He would learn when his father brings him. By the way, this family, I know this family. His mother is an American convert. Before she married his father, she emailed me 15 years ago. Yes? She said, we're going to get married because both of them were students at law school in Boston. And we are thinking of moving to a community where they have good mosque to raise our children. Can you imagine? Before they got married, they were thinking of raising good children. This is how the journey begins. Before you get married, you think of a first safe environment, safe school, safe community, safe mosque, healthy mosque. Not at the age of 15. Those who lost their children, they don't come to the mosque because they started with them late. And late does not work. You have to begin before they are born. I plan for them. I'm patient with them. I don't give up on them. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up. Go after them. Go nicely. بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. With wisdom and good advice. At the end, you're going to win them. Believe me. God will promise you. If you are sincere, you go after your children. After 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you're going to win them back into religion, into faith. And there are other things that we will share with you in the upcoming weeks, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.